Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemne Parish Church, and a very warm welcome to all the visitors we have with us here this morning. We're delighted to have each and every one of you with us today. Just a couple of intimations at the start of our time together. As we know, this marks the start of Holy Week, which is the center of the Christian faith, this week that chronicles the last earthly week of Jesus' life. And later on in this week, we will be observing Good Friday here in the church on Friday evening at 7 o'clock at night, and all are welcome. This will be a more of a contemplative style of worship for Good Friday. It's at 7 p.m., and then on Sunday morning, on Easter morning, we'll start our celebration of the resurrection with an Easter garden service over at the church center at 8:30 in the morning. And for those who brave that service, then there'll be breakfast following of, I believe, hot bacon rolls, tea and coffee, all the things to fuel us up for the rest of the day. And then we'll have Sunday worship here in the Kirk at 10 a.m. So these are our Holy Week and Easter services, and all are most welcome to attend. I've also been asked to highlight the fact that coming up later this month, we have the great privilege and honor of welcoming the moderator of the Church of Scotland to Presbytery of Gordon. He will be traveling around Presbytery for the last week of April from the 23rd to the 30th. And on Friday, the 28th of April, we have the privilege of hosting him here in Kemne. So that's Friday, the 28th of April, 7 p.m. at the church center. We'll have Scots Night with Stovies, entertainment, and dancing. And please let Miss Ann Brown know the number for catering by the 23rd of April. So if you're interested, please do let her know that you would like to attend to meet the moderator, Reverend Dr. Russell Barr and his wife, Mrs. Barr. And they'll be with us that evening. And it's a great opportunity. The moderator makes it around to every presbytery, I believe, on a 10-year rotation. So this will be the time we have to see him in the immediate future. So if you're interested, please speak with Anne for more information about the event here in Kemne and also about the other events the moderator will be attending throughout presbytery throughout that week. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family this morning? With those shared, let us enter into our time of worship with singing our first song of praise, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. And during the singing of this song, your offering for God's continued work here in Kemne and beyond will be uplifted.
Oh, be seated. May I have the children, if you feel comfortable, come sit with me on the steps up here, and I'm going to tell you a story. But you guys got to come up, or anyone can come up with them if they're a little nervous. Just sit by me. Sit so you can see my pictures in my book. Very good. Come on up. Joshua, come so you can see my pictures in my book. I need your help up here. Lewis, can you find a seat so everyone can see? Okay. I want you to see if you can find Jesus in my book and tell me what he is sitting on. Anyone think they can find, do you think that one's Jesus, Lewis? Yeah. And you think so too, Chris? What animal is he on?
A donkey.
Today is what we call Palm Sunday, and we're celebrating when Jesus came in on a donkey. But back then, when you think of kings and mighty kings, what animals do you think a king may have come in on? What do you guys think? Do you think a donkey?
A donkey
is what he did, but they were expecting him to come in on another animal. Any idea what that animal? That would be a powerful, because like the Lion King. I would be impressed, Lewis, if he could come in on a lion. Chris said it. They were expecting him to come in on a horse, like a knight with a sword, to come and protect everybody, to be the king. But he came on an animal that servants rode, because Jesus, while he was going to be a mighty king, was also going to be a servant, and he was going to wash people's feet. He was going to help them and ultimately help them by dying on the cross for them. So today, when the king came in, often they greet kings with mighty noises like a horn. Could anyone make a noise? Do-do-do-do. Could you do that sound with me? Do-do-do-do. That's one way we greet mighty people. Sometimes, if the queen was here, we might bow. Could anyone bow for me or curtsy? They might bow if the queen was to come. But they would bow. They put their head down. That'd be a way we might meet the queen today. There was another way. We might wave at somebody. Would anyone ever wave at somebody if they were royal? Something else they might do is, back then, we might wave maybe a British or a Scottish flag. They would climb up trees. They would take branches, and they would wave them, and that is how they greeted kings. Well, today, we don't have branches with us, but we have, anyone know what flower these are called? Yeah, do you know what they're called? Daffodils. So one of the things that we are going to do to greet Jesus today is we're going to have a time to process, that's a big word for meaning walk, forward, and we are going to put our daffodils on the cross as a way to declare that Jesus is our King and that life comes through him. So we are going to have a time where some music is going to play, we are going to get to sing, and we get to come forward with daffodils. If you did not bring daffodils, whether you're small or whether you're big, there are many up front, and we would love everybody to help us put daffodils on the cross to acknowledge that Jesus is our King. Do you guys think you could help me do that? Well, we need music to do that. And as the music begins, Jim is going to invite everyone to stand. And if you're able and would like to, you can process forward and put the daffodils on the cross. If you want your moms or dads to help you, they can come forward to help do that too. Okay, and with that, let us praise the Lord.
So fun. Thank you.
Celebrate, celebrate, celebrate.
Well, that's looking lovely, isn't it?
Yes.
Proof there's no such thing as too many flowers. That's absolutely lovely. We'll carry on. We'll let the ladies finish fixing the daffodils to the cross, but we'll carry on with worship with our prayer of thanksgiving.
Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, as we remember that first Palm Sunday, we also welcome you, our Lord and King. We remember that you arrived in Jerusalem to fulfill your mission that you came to earth to bring life to your people. You came not with arms, not with force, but you came with love and with mercy. And Lord, you came amazingly to die for us on a cross. You came to bring us forgiveness. And in your resurrection, you came to bring us life. You defeated sin and death and gave us new life as your children, children of the King. We praise you for this amazing gift. And Lord, as we look at the cross of daffodils, we're reminded of your first creation, the beauty of the creation that you said was good. We remember that we spoiled that creation by our sin. But Lord, in your death on the cross and in your resurrection, you made us a new creation. And help us to rejoice in that today. And help us to live our lives to redeem your creation for your name's sake. And Lord, we pray that you'll be amongst all of us here this morning. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. And we pray especially very much for the family of Kian Cameron as they come here to make their vows for you, to say that they'll bring up Kian to come and know you for himself. And Lord, we pray that you'll bless them and be very near to them. And be with all those around the world who cannot meet because of fear of persecution, because of conflict, and all sorts of oppression. We ask that you be very close to them, and may they know that they are also your children, and that your love will never fail for them. Lord, we thank you for giving us so many gifts, and thank you that we can bring our offerings to you as well. We pray that you will use them for your glory, to bring your kingdom into this community. And Lord, we ask that you will use us in achieving your purposes. Lord, we thank you that you've enabled us to call you Father. And Lord, we thank you for the prayer that you gave us as we say together the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
We have the great privilege this morning of celebrating the sacrament of holy baptism. I would invite Lynn and family and sponsors forward at this time. I like the tartan, by the way. Hear now the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said, All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Hear also these words from Scripture, the words of St. Paul, who tells us, As many of you as were baptized into Christ have now clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew nor Greek. There is no longer slave nor free. There is no longer male or female, for all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Obeying the word of the Lord Jesus, we recognize that in baptism God claims us and seals us to show that we belong to God. God frees us from sin and from death, uniting us with Jesus Christ in his death and in his resurrection. And by water and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we are joined together with the church, with the body of Christ. And in this time, in this place, let us remember with joy our own baptism into unity with Christ. And on this day, on behalf of the session of this church, I now ask Lynn to respond to the following questions. Lynn, do you affirm your faith in the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? If so, please say, I do. Do you turn again to Jesus Christ, accepting him as your Lord and Savior, trusting in his grace and love? If so, please say, I do. Do you desire that your son, Kian, be baptized into the Christian faith? If so, please say, I do. Relying on God's grace, do you promise to live out the Christian faith and to teach that faith to your child? If so, please say, I do. And the fifth question for everyone here, please stand as you're able. We are mindful that baptism is not a solitary act. It is a grafting in to a whole body. It is grafting in to the church in this age and in the age to come. You okay? Baptism is a communal act. We all take part in the baptism of Jesus together. And so because of the communality of baptism, I ask each of us here, do you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, promise to support Lynn and Robert to guide and nurture their son, Kian, by word and deed, with love and prayer, encouraging him to know and to follow Jesus Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Congregation may be seated. Let us pray. We give you thanks, eternal God, for you nourish and sustain all living things by the gift of water. In the beginning of time, your spirit moved over the watery chaos, calling forth order and life. In the waters of Jordan, Jesus himself was baptized by John and anointed with your spirit. And by the baptism of his own death and resurrection, Christ set us free from sin and death and opened the way to eternal life. We thank you, O God, for the water of baptism. In it, we are buried with Christ in his death, and from it, we are raised to share in his resurrection. Through it, we are reborn by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What is the full name of your son? Here comes the water. Kian, John, Sutherland, Cameron, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. May the blessing of the triune God rest upon you now and forevermore. Amen. What a good baby. As a sign of our unity in Christ, and as a sign of our joy in Kian's baptism into the family of faith, we will now sing our baptismal song, The Lord Bless You and Keep You. Kian has met his family of faith for the first time. And to commemorate this occasion of Kian's baptism, we now present you with a baptismal candle, which has the information about his baptism on the ring around it to remember this day, as well as a certificate affirming his baptism into the Church of Scotland as part of the Universal Church of Jesus Christ. So we delight with you as your son is now a part of the family of faith. Part of the challenge is to keep that candle burning the whole service. Kidding. I'm kidding. Very good. Now let's prepare our hearts and minds to hear the word of God from Holy Scripture. Today's reading comes to us from Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 34. This can be found on page 971 of the Church Bibles. I'll give you just a moment, if you so wish, to follow along in Scripture. Page 971. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, the whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Amen, and may God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word, and to him be the praise and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Joshua. Good morning. If you haven't had the privilege of meeting me, my name is Heather Michelson, and we are connected. I am Joshua's wife. I do not work for Kemnay Parish Church, but I work for the presbytery here, and so I have the privilege of coming alongside and helping ministers, and there are times when my own husband can tag me in and say I need some help. And that's one thing I love about baptism. Baptism symbolizes you're not on your own. Your son's not on your own. You have a larger family that you can tag in. And don't we all need that at times, right? When we realize that we're not enough, we need others. And so I encourage you to remember you have others helping you in this journey of bringing up your children. And so today we're looking at Palm Sunday, which is one of my favorite seasons that we're in right now. Spring. Anybody else? Is spring one of anybody else's favorite season? I love it because it symbolizes we're coming out of winter, and I have to confess that's my least favorite season. I like it for about 3 days, and then I want it done. I'm not a fan of darkness. I don't like it. And so when spring begins, I love that it's the promise of light, right? When I go out and I walk near your gardens and estates, in parks, when I see the daffodils coming up and the buds beginning to come on trees, it helps me to remember there's more going on in this world, right? I love Palm Sunday. I love Easter, for it reminds me there's more going on to this story. It's not just about darkness. And it's not just about what we read in the newspapers, right? Has anyone gotten caught up thinking, what is happening with the world when you get caught in the newspapers, or perhaps even the news in the village or in your own life, getting discouraged, thinking, is this the end? And it's not in that way. There is so much going on. And so often when you read the papers, do you want to cry out, God, help us, rescue us? And does anyone know that's what Hosanna means? The word that we cried out, that we sang today, Hosanna, rescue us, God, save us. And what would have they, 2,000 years ago, why? We often think about this as a celebration day of pomp and circumstance and celebration and saying Jesus is our king. And we think about it with smiles and with delight, and we should. But I think it's also important to remember that their hearts would have been heavy, just like at times our hearts are heavy. Over 2,000 years ago, Rome was in charge. And they weren't very nice. They had high taxes. Anyone in favor of high taxes? The Romans were, and they were taxing people heavily. There was no freedom of faith, very little freedom of faith. And in fact, justice wasn't even there. If the Romans didn't like you, they could even put you on a cross and persecute you. So they wanted a new king. They wanted a savior. And they called out, Hosanna, rescue us, God, save us. And where in our lives, perhaps, are we calling that out? God, rescue us. God, save us. Perhaps it's things like Brexit or a vote for independence, or perhaps things like terrorist attacks that we hear about in Parliament or in Sweden, or for my own life, my own family in Washington State, a shooting impacted and took the life of my uncle. And I called out, God, save us. God, rescue us, right? There's areas in our lives that we call out, wanting a way forward. I think we can all relate to that. And when we get caught up in our own family's addictions, depression, cancer, or loss of a job, it can lead to anxiety, can it not? Anyone been reading the paper get anxious, a feeling overwhelmed? And we know 2,000 years ago, they would have felt that way. And anxiety isn't something new. It's been around for centuries. Jesus even spoke about it, did he not? In our passage, did we hear it? Do not be anxious. And Jesus told us to then go for and look at two things. He told us to look at the birds of the air, and he told us to look at the lilies. And did our scripture say that God takes care of them? Yes, it did. And I so often, when I get anxious, anyone like me, go on a walk, go hike, climb Ben-Hee, and begin to feel calm because we see what God has created and we realize God is in charge. But I have a confession to make to you. Sometimes I will climb Ben-Hee at the base of it, not all the way up, true confession, or I will go and fetch near a state and I'll calm down for a week, an hour, 10 minutes, but then I get anxious again. Anyone else do that? Where you continue to get anxious. You've lost sight of the birds. You've lost sight of the flowers. And then you're anxious again. And I used to think, I'm a failure at this. I may be a minister, but this Christian faith, I'm pretty much a failure. And then I would go back to the text that Joshua read for us. And I thought, okay, yes, it talks about the birds, it talks about the flowers, but that passage, if you still have your Bibles open, in verse 25, that is very famous, says, therefore I tell you, what's the first word? Therefore. Would one start a book with the word therefore? Would one watch a movie and the intro line is therefore? If you opened up the paper, the headline, would it say therefore? No. A therefore, a professor of mine used to always say, when you see a therefore, you ask, what's it there for? And I believe in this passage, it's pointing us back to the text before it. So often we get to church and we just read one passage, but we forget that perhaps Jesus was telling a story. So here in our text, we had something about treasure, something about our eyes, something about masters, and then anxiety. And I used to think these were four things of wisdom that Jesus was giving to us until I found the therefore. And I thought, maybe we're not just supposed to go and look at the flowers and the birds. Yes, we are. But maybe we're supposed to do something else because that therefore is pointing us back. So perhaps Jesus is saying the root of our anxiety is found in what we are treasuring, where we are focusing, and who is our master. Think I'm crazy yet? Okay, if not, we're going to continue following along. So I'm going to dig us back to the beginning of our text and go through each of those, asking the question of, if we align ourselves to think about what we're treasuring, what our eyes are focused on, or who is our master, could it be the root of our anxiety? So if you'll please go ahead with me, we're going to dig into that. I'm going to dig into where my notes are and go back to that place. And so with that, let's look at the very first passage. Do not store for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So Jesus is not saying, do not treasure, do not invest. That's human nature to want to invest in our future. So do not go out of this and saying, Reverend Michelson said, do not invest. No, that's not what the Lord's saying. But he's saying the key is, what are we investing in? And where is our heart? Because if our treasure is upon things of this earth, are those things stable? Are they secure? And this passage points out that there are three things that can take away our treasure upon this earth. The first are moths, a moth. The second, rust. The third, thieves. And as I was reading up about this over the last month, one of the theologians said, these are three different ways that we can lose our treasures upon earth. If you think about a moth, that's nature, right? Nature can come and take away our treasures upon this earth. Rust. Does rust happen quickly or does rust happen over time? Over time. Time can take away our treasures. And then the last thief. While some animals can be thieves, our Labrador is a thief of socks. A lot of thieves are humans. Humans can also take away our treasure. So if we're treasuring things upon this earth, they're not secure. And so often when we want to find treasure in something, we're trying to find relief from our anxiety to find security. But when we lose it, we're anxious again. And Jesus is saying, I want something better for you. I don't want you to live in that place of constant anxiety. So treasure the things of heaven. Treasure the Lord. Treasure his scripture. Treasure relationships that he has given to you. Those things, while fleeting, are secure in the Lord. And so the next time you find yourself anxious and on a walk in your garden or in an estate, ask yourself, what am I treasuring? And if you can't get to the root of that, then maybe go on to the second thing. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? It's hard to find a secure foundation if our eyes are full of darkness, right? Trying to find our way forward. And Jesus is saying here, what you're focusing on is what is going to be guiding you. And in the scriptures, if you go back to the Psalms, it often connects eyes with heart. That's a Jewish connection that they do a lot. So you could also think, what is my heart focusing on? What is guiding me in that way? And so the next time you find yourself anxious and you're on a walk, perhaps you could ask, what am I focusing on? And third, if that doesn't help, perhaps go to the last one, starting in verse 24. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve both God and money. You cannot serve two masters. We were made to serve somebody. I think the great American musician Bob Dylan had a song about that, right? You gotta serve somebody. It may be the devil or maybe the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. We were made to serve. But how often do we try to serve two things? Has anyone ever done this where they have two things in their day and they want to do them both the best? And you feel this pull because you can't do them both. We're made to have one focus in that way. And so in this way, I find this interesting. Jesus didn't say, you shall not serve two masters. He says, you cannot. Being made in the image of God, we're not made to serve two different things. So often we try to have divided loyalties. I do it all the time. And we try to serve things which are good. Our families, our friends, our vocations, our jobs, my diary. Anyone else do this? I try to almost serve what I'm doing in the day. And those are good things, but when they become my master, the first thing I feel like I need to bow down to in the day, that's when we get divided. Anyone ever feel that tension in their heart and their heart begin to pound again? Perhaps begin to pull away and say, oh, who's my master today? And uses the, and here it says, you cannot serve both God and money. The word originally was mammon, funny word. And it didn't actually mean money, but it meant a devotion in your life, something of high priority. And most translators are in the Western world. What's one of the most important things to us in the Western world? Money. And so the translators of the Bible said, let's go with money. But for some of us, it might not. Our idol may not be money. It may be something else. And Jesus is saying here, you know, if you try to serve both, you're gonna live in anxiety. And I have a better way forward for you. Therefore, go out and allow the birds and the flowers to preach to you, to remember who you are, that you're my child, and that I take care of you. And you know what? I take care of you even more than the birds and the flowers. So do not worry. But check in again about what you're treasuring and what are your eyes focused on. And who is your master? So often we can get caught up in the newspapers and we can get caught up in our own anxiety and we think that's the end. But it's not, is it? And that's one reason that I love Easter, that I love Palm Sunday, for it helps us to remember what the end of the story is, what the most important things of this world are. So if our eyes are focused on treasuring things of this earth, if they're focused on darkness or other masters, we can lose sight of the good news. I was reminded of this last week or 2 weeks ago when we at Kemnay Parish Church here, a group of us, helped lead P6, a few P5s, P6 and P7 students through what we called the Holy Week Walk. We hosted it up at the church center and we transformed the center into a child's mind of what Holy Week would have been originally. And so we waved palm branches, laurel branches, and we reenacted Palm Sunday. And then we heard about what Jesus did when he tore over the tables, knocked over the tables in the temple. We then participated in the Last Supper. We went in and listened in to the arrest at the Garden of Gethsemane. We watched the miracle maker version of the crucifixion. We then got to do crafts. We got to go into a tomb and smell burial spices. And we got to share at the end of our day about what we learned. And so we challenged the children, we gave them colorful post-it notes, and we had them write down what they learned. And they reminded me and many of us as volunteers about what the story is all about. Here's when I learned about how they crucified Jesus. Today I learned they needed to carry the cross on his back, Jesus. The most important part of the story is the resurrection, and I learned that frankincense and myrrh smell very, very nice. I learned the Lord's Supper is not so bad. Today I learned that Jesus had to go and be put on trial twice. Today I learned that death is not the last word. Today I learned that death is not the end. Why do we celebrate Palm Sunday? Why do we celebrate Easter? So that we can remember that death is not the end. Why do we celebrate Palm Sunday? Why do we celebrate Easter? So that we can remember anxiety is not the end. Why do we celebrate Palm Sunday? And why do we celebrate Easter? So that we can remember the horrible attacks in this world are not the end. Brexit is not the end. Depression is not the end. Change is not the end. Loss is not the end. Pain is not the end. And as the children said, death is not the end. Jesus went to the cross to declare all those things finished. We're going to celebrate that on our Good Friday service. It is finished, he declared. And this Easter, may we remember that story. This season of Easter, as we walk and we see the flowers, the birds, may we remember who it is that we treasure, what it is that our eyes are focused on, and who it is that is our master. On this Palm Sunday, as we wave our palm branches, may we remember that we cannot have two kings. We cannot have two masters, only one. And we have one amazing servant king who is offering to be our king and our Lord. Let us pray. Lord, what a gift it is to be made in your image. That to know that you take care of us even more than you take care of the beautiful flowers and the birds. But Lord, we confess to you that so often we take our eyes off of you. We don't treasure the things of heaven. We treasure the things of earth. We try to have many masters in our life and we grow anxious. We grow worried. We grow concerned. Forgive us, Lord. This Holy Week, help us to fix our eyes on you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Help us to treasure the beautiful things you have given to us on this earth, but not to worship them as our master. And on this Palm Sunday, may we cry out, Hosanna, God save us, and recognize that you are our one and true King, the one in whom we worship. We pray this in your powerful name, and all say together, Amen. It is good news that we celebrate on this Palm Sunday, and so it seems appropriate for us to stand in response and to say thanks by singing Welcome the King.
Who is this king? 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 Who is this king?
The psalmist writes, "Cast your cares upon the Lord, and he will sustain you." Let us pray. Lord, this morning we have heard again the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We have heard again of your willingness to come to those who are in need, to those who cry out, "Save us." We believe that you do not stand far off from the cries of this world. Rather, we believe that you have become one of us, Emmanuel, God with us. We believe that you hear the cries of your people in Syria, who continue to endure so much suffering and violence. We pray for a swift and sure end to conflict. We pray that countries involved, like Russia and the United States, would stop pointing the fingers of blame and instead work together for the peace and security of all. We believe that you hear the cries of your people in Sweden as they deal with the lasting impact of one person's decision to cause senseless harm to others in Stockholm. Lord, we mourn this tragedy. We pray for all who are involved, including those who blaspheme your name by taking human life. This morning we pray as well for the United Kingdom as negotiations for leaving the EU begin to take shape. We pray that those involved in these negotiations would not give in to fear, pettiness, or vengeance, but would rather work together for the common good. This morning we pray for our Christian sisters and brothers around the world who are suffering for the sake of their faith. Lord, may the fact that we here can worship in peace never blind us to the plight of fellow Christians who must choose between temporal security and fidelity to the gospel. May we always remember that we share in one baptism, that we are one body, and what happens to one impacts the whole. We pray for the people of Yemen, who are in the midst of upheaval and civil war. We pray that charities, relief groups, governments, people of influence, they would all be granted better access to the country to help those who are in desperate need. And we pray that combatants on both sides would immediately cease their actions. This morning we pray for all those we know who are struggling with ill health, whether the scars of it are seen or unseen. We pray for those who are grappling with the reality of bereavement. Lord, in your great mercy, bring your comfort to those who mourn. Bring joy to those who despair. Help each of us to be agents of compassion and love to those who are in need. Lord, this morning we also praise you for the many good things that are happening in our world. Even though they are widely reported, even though we feel saturated by them, we believe that stories of violence are the exception, not the norm. We believe that you are in control, and even when the world seems dark, you are still guiding all things towards the great day of redemption, the day when death shall lose its sting, the day when life will burst forth anew, the day when Christ shall reign, the day when you, Lord, shall be all in all. We bring these prayers and all the unspoken prayers upon our hearts before your glorious throne of grace. And we bring them in the name of Jesus Christ, our friend, our Savior, and our Lord. Amen. And we now sing our closing song of praise, "You Are the King of Glory." Today is the day that the King of Glory came. Today is the day when the crowds cried, "Hosanna, save us." Jesus Christ is with us today as he was then. Jesus Christ walks with us every step of our journeys. Jesus Christ will guide us in the way that we must go. May the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon each of us and upon all who we love this day and forevermore.
Amen. Amen.